Hey everybody, welcome to 2ZQ Hot Takes, where we discuss issues both big and small. I am your host, the very handsome Tim Kirk, and this time I'll be talking about There's No Fool Like an Old Fool. From the article Wisdom in Aging by Judith Gluck on Science Direct, the highlights are neither growing old nor accumulating life experiences is sufficient for growing wise. Personal and interpersonal resources foster the development of wisdom from life experiences. Relationships between wisdom and chronological age vary across different wisdom measures. Wisdom is a resource for dealing with challenges such as loneliness, especially late in life. And the introduction says, how is wisdom related to aging? When people are asked to nominate a wise individual, nominees are typically in their second half of life, including some fictional wisdom nominees, such as Harry Potter's teacher Dumbledore or Gandalf from Lord of the Rings, who are hundreds or even thousands of years old. At the same time, most people do not believe that all old people are wise. Becoming wise is assumed to require more than just growing old, a view that is supported by wisdom research. This article first gives an overview of psychological definitions of wisdom with an emphasis on models of how wisdom develops, then research, mostly recent studies since 2018, is reviewed that look into A, the relationship between wisdom and chronological age, and B, wisdom as a resource for coping with age-related challenges. Finally, some general conclusions are drawn and important research gaps are highlighted. How wisdom is defined. Psychological wisdom research is a relatively young field that has grown considerably over the last 30 years. Until recently, different research groups tended to work with their own definitions and measures of wisdom, which led to somewhat inconsistent empirical evidence. Recently, several integrative models of wisdom have been published, demonstrating that the different definitions have a clear common core and explicating how components from different models may interact to produce real-life wise behavior. In their overview of definitions of wisdom, Gluck and Westrate distinguished three groups of models, and it gives an overview of models from each group for which developmental predictions and empirical findings are available. Cognitive-focused models of wisdom describe wise thinking, which is characterized by awareness of one, uncertainty, unpredictability, and the limitations of one's knowledge, and two, the existence and legitimacy of different perspectives shaped by differences in values and life contexts. According to Sternberg's balance theory of wisdom, wise problem solutions balance divergent inter-individual and extra-individual interests and short and long-term outcomes toward the general goal of maximizing a common good. Well, that is a mouthful. And there are different examples from the different authors, and they define and they give the criterias and they give their developmental productions and the empirical relationships with age in this table. And there are a number of them. The first three columns are adapted from Gluck and Westrate in 2022. And the model and the authors are the Berlin Wisdom Model. And the definition is wisdom-related knowledge is expert knowledge about the fundamental pragmatics of life. The criteria and components are factual knowledge about life, procedural knowledge about life, lifespan contextualism, value relativism, and recognition and management of uncertainty. The developmental predictions say that wisdom grows with experience only in those people who actively engage in deliberate practice with the fundamental issues of life. It therefore depends on relevant personal, expertise-specific, and experiential factors, and the empirical relationships with age. Wisdom-related knowledge was positively related to age in adolescence and emerging adulthood. In older age groups, no statistical relationship between wisdom-related knowledge and age was found. In the Bremen Wisdom Model, the definition is self-related wisdom, defined as sound judgment and deep insight with regard to difficult and uncertain matters in one's own life. And the criteria and components are rich self-knowledge, heuristics of growth and self-regulation, and interrelating the self, along with self-relativism and tolerance of ambiguity. The developmental predictions are personal wisdom develops as expertise about oneself and one's life, but may be compromised by self-enhancement bias and dogmatism, especially in older age. And the empirical relationships with age say old adults scored significantly lower in criteria 3 to 5, but slightly higher in self-knowledge than young adults, controlling for openness to experience and fluid intelligence mediated part of these age differences. The wise reasoning model definition is wise reasoning, defined as using specific types of pragmatic reasoning to navigate difficult challenges of social life. The criteria components are 1, intellectual humility, 2, seeing others' perspectives, 3, integrating different perspectives, and 4, recognizing uncertainty and change. There were no theoretical predictions about developments. But the empirical relationships with age says older participants reasoned more wisely about intergroup and interpersonal conflicts than younger participants. Wise reasoning with respect to specific real-life situations was negatively related to age below 45 and positively related to age above 45. Well, what do you know about that? Now for the personality-focused models, the self-transcendence model, the definition is wisdom as self-transcendence, defined as independence from external self-definitions and dissolution of rigid boundaries between the self and others. And the criteria and components are self-knowledge and self-integration, peace of mind, non-attachment, self-transcendence, and presence in the here and now, and growth. And the predictions from development are self-transcendence develops in people who engage in activities such as seeking insight or meditation through 4 developmental stages: self-knowledge, non-attachment, integration, and self-transcendence. And the empirical relationships with age say that older participants scored higher than young participants in peace of mind, non-attachment, and self-transcendence. Now we have the 3-dimensional wisdom model, and it's defined as wisdom as a combination of personality traits that enable individuals to take others' perspectives and overcome biases and blind spots, learn from life, and care for others. The criteria and components are cognitive dimension, reflective dimension, compassionate dimension. The developmental predictions are the reflective dimension, being willing to look at things from different perspectives, is assumed to be the foundation for the development of the other 2 dimensions. Cognitive aspects of wisdom may decline with fluid intelligence, but non-cognitive aspects may increase, at least into midlife. And the empirical relationship with age. Negative correlations with age were found especially for the cognitive dimension with age. More recent research found curvilinear trends showing lower scores in the cognitive dimension of wisdom from midlife on, but higher scores in the other two dimensions, especially in participants with higher educational levels. And there's two more, the developmental models and the definition of the hero model of wisdom is wisdom as the ability to apply insights from critical life experiences to facilitate an optimal development of oneself and others. Well, the criteria and components for that are critical life experience, openness, emotional regulation, reminiscence and reflectiveness, and humor. And the developmental predictions are wisdom develops through reminiscing and reflecting on critical life experiences. Openness, emotional regulation, and humor support its development. And the empirical relationships with age say middle-aged adults scored higher than younger and older adults on all wisdom components except reminiscence and reflectiveness. Wow. It's a little strange that there's such a wide variety of results. Then there's the last, which is the more life experience model. This is defined as, this model defines psychological resources that foster growth and wisdom as individuals reflect on life challenges. And the criteria are managing uncertainty and uncontrollability, openness to new perspectives and experiences, reflectivity, emotional sensitivity, and emotional regulation. And the developmental prediction is that wisdom develops through reflecting on challenging life experiences. Openness and emotional sensitivity are assumed to be early life predecessors of growth in wisdom. Awareness of uncertainty and uncontrollability and emotion regulation are acquired later in life. And finally, the empirical relationships with age. Wisdom resources were correlated with wisdom levels on a lifespan sample. So, going forward, personality-focused models emphasize personality-related, affective, and motivational aspects of wisdom, such as curiosity about life, a willingness to question one's own beliefs, and compassionate concern for others, or self-transcendence, feeling connected to people, other generations, and nature, having a sense of meaning and experiencing joy, awe, and inner peace. Cognitive-focused and personality-focused models of wisdom are not incompatible with each other. They are related both conceptually and empirically. It makes sense, for example, that personality characteristics of wisdom, such as compassion and self-transcendence, would go along with perspective-taking and intellectual humility. I wish I had some of these qualities. Developmental models of wisdom are most important for this subject as they aim to account for how wisdom develops and why some people grow wiser than others over the course of their life. If only. As mentioned earlier, most lay people believe that life experience is a necessary but not sufficient foundation for the development of wisdom, and this view is broadly shared by wisdom experts. While everyone accumulates life experiences over time, however, not all of us become particularly wise.
Yeah.
How people reflect on life experiences and what they take away from them may be more crucial for the development of any wisdom than the experiences themselves. In an early conceptual account of how wisdom develops, Bates and Smith argued that the development of wisdom, defined as expertise in the fundamental issues of human life, is fostered by three broad factors. General person factors such as openness, intelligence, or creativity, expertise-specific factors such as life experience, mentorship, and motivation, and experiential contexts that facilitate learning about life, such as parenthood, mentorship roles, or specific historical contexts. In other words, certain types of experiences are particularly likely to make us wiser, and person variables influence what we take away from those experiences. More recent developmental models focus on personal resources that influence how individuals learn from given life experiences. In Jeffrey Dean Webster's Hero Model, wisdom is defined as the willingness and ability to apply insights gained from life experiences in order to facilitate the optimal development of oneself and others. Having had critical life experiences is considered as a necessary condition for the development of wisdom. I must have missed that boat. In addition, a willingness to reminisce and reflect on these experiences, openness, emotional regulation, and humor are necessary for making sense of them and drawing wise insights. The Moore Life Experience Model is a theory of how wisdom develops and how it manifests itself in difficult situations. Again, important life experiences are considered as the main catalysts of the development of wisdom. Such events do not have to be negative, but they need to be sufficiently disruptive to broaden a person's worldviews and lead to new insights. Five psychological resources influences how likely people are to have such experiences and grow wiser from them. The ability to manage uncertainty and uncontrollability, openness to new experiences and divergent perspectives, a willingness to engage in exploratory reflection, and emotional sensitivity and regulation. In addition to these intrapersonal resources, it seems likely that intrapersonal resources are important for growing wiser. Being able to talk to someone about an experience may be key to gaining broader perspectives and new insights. Which reminds me of the line about people who express reflexive knee-jerk hostility towards the concept of mindfulness. How wisdom is measured. Before reviewing the empirical evidence, it is important to briefly discuss how wisdom is measured. As mentioned earlier, different definitions of wisdom have resulted in different types of measures. Cognitive conceptions of wisdom have mostly been translated into so-called performance measures. Typically, spoken or written responses to difficult life problems are evaluated for criteria such as consideration of differences in values and contexts, or intellectual humility and awareness of uncertainty. One exception is the Situated Wise Reasoning Scale, which assesses situation-specific wise reasoning by self-report. Personality-focused conceptions have mostly been translated into self-report scales measuring the respective wisdom components, such as reflective, cognitive, and compassionate dimensions, or self-transcendence. Developmental models have been translated into both self-report scales and life event interviews. With the empirical evidence on the relationship between wisdom and aging. While anecdotal developmental models of wisdom make some predictions about how and why wisdom develops or does not develop over a person's life course, the empirical evidence concerning those predictions is limited to date. Gluck et al. Found cross-sectional correlations between the resources proposed by the Moore Life Experiences Model and wisdom measures. A longitudinal study over 1 year, however, found no evidence of growth in wisdom after adversity. A few studies have drawn upon data collected in long-term longitudinal studies, either identifying wisdom-relevant items in earlier assessments or including wisdom measures in recent data collection waves and relating them to variables assessed earlier. These studies suggest that wisdom in old age is predicted by variables pertaining to openness and an orientation toward growth in young adulthood, supporting the general idea that psychological resources can foster or hinder the development of wisdom. More longitudinal evidence on the interplay between life experiences, interpersonal and interpersonal resources and wisdom is clearly needed. Now to the subject of wisdom and chronological age. The bulk of existing evidence consists of analyses of correlations or, in a few cases, nonlinear relationships between measured wisdom and chronological age in cross-sectional data sets. Even with respect to this seemingly simple issue, the broad diversity of wisdom measures has led to somewhat inconsistent empirical findings, which I think is kind of interesting. Among cognitive-focused measures, scores in the Berlin wisdom paradigm are positively related to age between 15 and 25 and unrelated to age above 25, except for a possible decline in very old age. With a different measure of wise reasoning, however, Grossman et al. Found a linear positive relationship with age up into participants' 90s. For the situated wise reasoning scale, Brienza et al. Found a U-shaped relationship. Among personality-focused measures, scores in the three-dimensional wisdom scale are typically negatively correlated with age, a pattern driven by the cognitive dimension of wisdom. Recently, however, a study found an inverse U-shaped relationship with the highest scores in middle age, and a similar pattern was found for the self-assessed wisdom scale, a developmental-focused measure. Another personality-focused measure, the adult self-transcendence inventory, is typically unrelated to age. In sum, as Gluck summarized, wisdom increases, stays stable, increases then decreases, decreases then increases, or just decreases with age, depending on which measure you look at. Well, that clears things up. She argued that the relationship of a wisdom measure with age depends on which components of wisdom the measure emphasizes, with different components having different age trajectories. To illustrate the point, she reported correlations of single items' different wisdom scales with age. For example, items assessing self-transcendence, such as I feel part of something greater than myself, or sometimes I feel a real compassion for everyone, were positively correlated, whereas reverse-scored items measuring complex thinking, such as simply knowing the answer rather than understanding the reasons for the answer to a problem, is fine with me. Or people are either good or bad, were negatively correlated with age. Thus, components of wisdom pertaining to self-transcendence may be positively related to age and the general population, whereas components concerning complex thinking are negatively related to age. It seems likely, however, that highly wise older people are able to use their expertise in wisdom-relevant matters to compensate for losses in fluid intelligence. Generally, statistical relationships between wisdom and chronological age are not strong. Even where significant linear or quadratic relationships were found, they accounted for small shares of the variance. This makes sense given that, as discussed earlier, there is no universal trajectory of wisdom development. Whether and how much individuals grow towards wisdom depends on individual constellations of life experiences and interpersonal and interpersonal resources. In addition, given the enormous historical and cultural changes over the past century in the Western world, where most wisdom research has taken place, it seems likely that cohort effects account for some of the findings. Now for wisdom as a source of well-being in old age. Some recent research has looked at wisdom as a psychological resource for coping with life challenges. Wisdom may help individuals with navigating difficult situations in their own and other people's lives and serve as a buffer against negative effects of stressful experiences on well-being and mental health. In a series of studies, Monica R. Delt's research group has demonstrated that wisdom helps individuals dealing with hardship in all phases of adulthood, but especially in old age. Recent quantitative and qualitative research also suggests that wisdom may be a protective factor against loneliness in old age. Across various measures, highly wise individuals are generally high in well-being, although not everyone who is high in well-being is also wise. And for the cultural and socioeconomic differences, as mentioned earlier, most empirical wisdom research has been conducted with classical Western samples in Europe and North America. There is, however, a substantial body of research on people's conceptions of wisdom in non-Western cultures. According to that literature, there is a common core of aspects of wisdom that are culturally universal, such as concern for others, but wisdom conceptions are clearly also shaped by cultural, social, religious, and socioeconomic factors. Comparatively little research has looked at how wisdom develops in different cultures. As an example, Charagai et al. Used the three-dimensional wisdom scale to assess wisdom in three age cohorts of Iranian participants. They found that age was positively related to the compassionate dimension and negatively related to the cognitive dimension of wisdom. But these results were moderated by gender and education, illustrating the relevance of educational opportunities for personal growth, especially in relatively traditional societies. Conclusions and future directions. In sum, the relationship between wisdom and age is complex because wisdom is a complex construct in itself. Wisdom comes with age as it is based on accumulated life experience. However, wisdom may also decline with age because some of its components do. The ability to grasp complex problems or to regulate emotions in stressful situations tend to decline as individuals age. Individual trajectories of the development of wisdom may vary considerably depending on individual experiences, life contexts, and constellations of intrapersonal and interpersonal resources. To make things more complicated, the psychosocial resources that support wisdom may change with age. For example, while young adults seem to draw on fluid intelligence when dealing with wisdom problems, older adults draw on crystallized intelligence. In the same way, role and relevance of resources like openness, compassion, or emotion regulation may change with age. More longitudinal research on the development of wisdom is urgently needed. Wisdom research is a young field with many open questions. At this point in history, one important goal for future research is to develop wisdom interventions that foster wisdom in all phases of life, from school curricula to systemic interventions in organizations. If humanity is to overcome the challenges it is currently facing, we will need to increase the wisdom of the decisions that both individuals and collectives make. In this context, it also seems important to gain a better understanding of the meaning and development of wisdom in different cultures and societies. For example, research with Western samples suggests that overcoming the demands of one's ego is an important aspect of growing wiser. I completely agree. In highly collectivist societies, however, growing wiser might involve becoming somewhat more aware of one's individuality. Okay. Another important topic for future research concerns more ecologically valid approaches for measuring wisdom. Wisdom has been found to help people deal with difficult life transitions and challenging situations in all life phases, and especially in old age. Learning more about how wisdom develops and how its development can be fostered is important not to just improve individual well-being, but also to increase humanity's chances of survival. Well, how about that? I can't disagree with much of this because there are so many different conclusions. And the one thing I can say is I'm surprised that there is no fool like an old fool. And you do lose a lot of your wisdom as you get older. And I thought you'd become the wise old owl. But it seems that that is not necessarily the case. Anyway, thanks for listening. See you next time. And as the kiddies say, peace out.